Let's see. I'm gonna. Alright, so this is from Charmides by Oscar Wilde. Let's see how we go. I'm really, really bad at reading out loud, so we'll see how this goes. Ready for death with parted lips he stood, and well content at such a price to see the calm-eyed brow, that terrible maidenhood, the marvel of that pitiless chastity. Ah, well content indeed, for never wight since Troy's young shepherd prince had seen so wonderful a sight. Ready for death he stood, but lo, the air grew silent, and the horses ceased to neigh, and off his brow he tossed the clustering hair, and from his limbs he threw the cloak away. For whom he could not such love make desperate, and Nitre came and touched her throat, and with hands violet undid the cuirass and the crocus gown, and bared the breast of polished ivory, till from the waist the peplus falling down, less visible the secret mystery, which to no lover will Athena show, the crowned cool flanks, the crescent thighs, the bossy hills of snow. Those who have never known a lover's sin, let them not read my ditty. It will be to their dull ears so music listen thin, that they will have no joy of it. But ye to whose wan cheek now creeps the lingering smile, ye who have learned who Eros is, oh, listen yet a while. A little space he let his greedy eyes rest on the burnished image, so near sight half swooned for surfeit of such luxuries. And then his lips in hungering delight fed on her lips, and round the towered neck he flung his arms, nor cared at all his passion's will to check. Never, I ween, did lover hold such tryst, for all night long he murmured honeyed word, and saw her sweet, unravished limbs, and kissed her pale and argent body undisturbed, and paddled with the polished throat, and pressed his hot and beating heart upon her chill and icy breast. It was as if Numidian javelins pierced through and through his wild and whirling brain, and his nerves thrilled like throbbing violins in exquisite pulsation, and the pain was such sweet anguish that he never drew his lips from hers till overhead the lark of warning flew. They who have never seen the daylight peer into a darkened room and drawn the curtain, and with dull eyes and wearied from some dear and worshipped body risen, they for certain will never know of what I try to sing, how long the last kiss was, how fond and late his lingering. The moon was girdled with that crystal rim, the sigh, which shipmen say is ominous, of wrath in heaven, the wan stars were dim, the low-lighting east was tremulous, the faint fluttering wings of flying dawn, ere from the silent somber shrine his lover had withdrawn. Down the steep rock with hurried feet and fast clomb the brave lad, and reached the cave of Pan, and heard the goat-foot snoring as he passed, and leapt upon a grassy knoll, and ran like a young fawn into an olive wood, which in a shady valley by the well-built city stood, and saw the little stream which well he knew, for oftentimes with boyish careless shout the green and crested grebe he would pursue, or snare and woven net the silver trout, and down amid the startled reed he lay, panting in breathless sweet affright, and waited for the day. On the green bank he lay, and let one hand dip in the cool dark eddies listlessly, and soon the breath of morning came and fanned his hot flushed cheeks, or lifted wantonly the tangled curls from off his forehead, while he on the running water gazed with strange and secret smile. And soon the shepherd, in rough woolen cloak, with his long crook undid the wadded coats, and from the stack a thin blue wreath of smoke curled from the air across the ripening oats, and on the hill the yellow house dog bayed, as though the crisp and rustling fern the heavy cattle strayed. And when the light-foot mower went afield, across the meadows laced with threaded dew, and the sheep bleated on the misty wields, and from its nest the waking corncrake flew, some woodman saw him lying by the stream, and marveled that any lad so beautiful could seem, nor deemed him born of mortals, and one said, "It is young Hylas, that false runaway who with a naiad now would make his bed forgetting Heracles," but others, "Nay, it is Narcissus, his own paramour, Those are the fond and crimson lips no woman can allure. And when they nearer came, a third one cried, "It is young Dionysus who has hid his spear and fawn skin by the riverside, weary of hunting with the Bassarid, and wise indeed were we away to fly. They live not long who on the gods immortal come to spy." And so turned they back, and feared to look behind, and told the timid swain how they had seen, amid the woods, some woodland god reclined, and no man dared to cross the open green. And on that day no olive tree was slain, no rushes cut, but all deserted was the fair domain. Save when the neatherd's lad, his empty pail, well slung upon his back, with leap and bound, braced on the other side, and stopped to hail, hoping that he some comrade new had found, got no answer. Then, half afraid, passed on the simple way, or down the hills, or down the still and silent glade. A little girl ran laughing from the stream, not thinking of love's secret mysteries. And when she saw the white and gleaming arm and all his manlihood, with longing eyes, whose passion mocked her sweet virginity, watched him a while, then stole back sadly and wearily. Far off he heard the city's hum and noise, and now and then the thriller laughter where the passionate purity of brown-limbed boys wrestled a race in the clear, healthful air, and now and then a little tinkling bell as the shorn weather led the sheep down to the mossy well. Though the gray willows danced the fretful gnat, the grasshopper, through the gray willows danced the fretful gnat, the grasshopper tripped idly from the tree, in sleek and oily coat the water rat breasting the little ripples manfully made for the wild. Oh.